Got the record going. This is a meeting of the Utah State Tax Commission. It is 9 o'clock on January 11th, 2018. This meeting is being held in the Commission Hearing Room 1025 at 210 North, 1950 West, Salt Lake City, Utah. Participating this morning on the Commission are John L. Valentine, Commission Chair, Michael J. Cragen, Commissioner, Robert P. Pirro, Commissioner, Rebecca L. Rockwell, Commissioner. Also present is Barry Conover, the Executive Director of the Utah Tax Commission. First item on the agenda today is public comment period. Does anyone wish to address the Tax Commission for up to 3 minutes on matters not related to a pending or reasonably imminent appeal to the Commission? I see no interest. So move on to the next item on the agenda. Next item is approval of our open and closed commission meeting minutes of Thursday, December 14, 2017. I recognize Commissioner Pirro.
Thank you. I move to approve the open and closed commission meeting minutes of Thursday, December 14, 2017.
Thank you. You've heard the motion. Debate on the motion? Seeing no debate, I'll place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Well, that motion passes unanimously. The minutes are approved of both the open and closed meeting minutes. Next item on the agenda is our annual training on Open Public Meetings Act, and I'll turn to Commissioner Cragen.
Thank you. The Open Public Meetings Act requires that each year a public body receive training on the law, and this is that presentation for this year. In a nutshell, this is what the Open Public Meetings Act says. When a quorum of a public body meets to discuss or act on a subject over which the body has jurisdiction or advisory power, it must follow the Open and Public Meetings Act. That is the substance of the training that you need to receive. Here's a little bit of detail. In order for open meetings to comply with the Open and Public Meetings Act, the public body has to publish notices. Two different notices. One is the annual notice of regularly scheduled meetings, and we adopted that at the end of last year in our last commission meeting of the year. And then for each meeting that the public body holds, it has to give notice at least 24 hours prior to that meeting, and with that notice it has to include an agenda. And the agenda has to identify the topics for consideration with reasonable specificity. And the way that we do that on our agenda is those items that we will be voting on, we indicate with action item at the end of the agenda so that the public knows we'll be voting on that. Now, we are allowed to talk about things that may not be on the agenda, but if we need to take action on them, we'll have to wait until a subsequent meeting when we have given notice. We're required to record our meetings, and we have to post those recordings on the public notice website within 3 days of our meetings. I probably should have mentioned that our notices have to be published on that website, too. We have to keep and publish minutes at our meetings. Within 30 days of having a meeting, we have to post our pending minutes to the website, have to notify the public that they're subject to change. And once we've approved a set of minutes, we have to get those on the website within 3 days. Now, it is okay for a public body to have meetings, electronic meetings, meaning meetings where people participate from a remote location by telephone or Skype or something like that, but only if the public body has adopted a governing resolution, rule, or ordinance. And we have done that.
Thank you, Commissioner.
I'm not finished yet. Oh. Sorry, I was just taking a breath.
Okay.
When we have a closed meeting, it is permissible for us to close our meetings for some reasons, but if we're going to do that, we have to start in an open meeting. We have to announce the reasons for closing it and where we're going to be. There's a list of topics that we're permitted to talk about and a list of topics that we're not permitted to talk about. For our purposes, most of the time we'll be discussing pending or reasonably imminent litigation. In order for us to be legally in a closed meeting, two-thirds of the people who are present at the meeting must vote to go into closed meeting. We can't take any action when we're in there, but we can return to the open meeting to take action. and with two exceptions, recordings are generally required. Okay, so those are the kind of the substance of the Open and Public Meetings Act. There are some things that don't constitute a meeting. If we send a text message to each other, that's okay. That's not a meeting. If we run into each other at the mall or at the governor's mansion at Christmas time, those are not meetings. City councils and county commissions that have both executive and legislative powers can gather together without posting notices and so on if they're just dealing with administrative and operational functions. And then we have an exception for our confidential tax matters, which don't require us to publish notices. We do still, however, record them. And then the final item for discussion or for notice to you is that the legislature did make some changes to the Open and Public Meetings Act in 2017. Mostly that they specified that a new group that the legislature created that many legislators belong to is not a public body, so they don't have to follow the meeting. But they did say that some groups that local governments have been creating are public bodies and do have to follow it, including the school athletic associations. We'll skip Senate Bill 17 for a minute and go down to the other two Senate bills. The legislature said that it's okay for a public body to use hyperlinks from its published minutes to its recordings in lieu of writing out the substance of discussions in meetings. As I understand, they originally were thinking about making that mandatory until we pointed out to them that we don't have the technology to do it, so they made it permissive. And then finally, they made it clear that a Metro Township legislative body has to post their minutes to the public notice website because there was some ambiguity in the statute. So back to Senate Bill 17, that applies directly to us. The legislature has told us that if we propose to make any changes, substantive changes to our publications, we have to give notice to the public by putting it on an agenda and allowing the public to address that in a public meeting. And we have adopted that and have been complying with that since then. They also expanded the definition of confidential tax matters to include giving employees guidance on the commission, on laws that we administer. And I believe we've undertaken a couple of those meetings. We gave the annual report to the legislature that was required last year, and we'll continue to comply with that. So that's the law, and those are the updates. Any questions?
Any questions from the other members of the commission?
Mm-mm.
Chair has one question. Would you go back two slides to the prohibited subjects on closed meetings?
Yeah.
Give us an example of prohibited topics.
The best example is that if a city council is going to be conducting interviews for a candidate who is going to replace or fill a vacancy in a city council, those discussions may not be done in a closed meeting. They have to be done in the open meeting. So it's pretty rare circumstances that there's going to be a prohibited topic. I suppose you could say that if it's not a permitted topic, it's prohibited, but the ones that are specified in the statutes are those where a city council is replacing a member.
Okay. So the permitted topics are the things that we use in our closed meetings, which is mostly litigation or pending litigation or imminent litigation.
Correct.
Gotcha. Most of those meetings, in fact, I can't think of one meeting I've had since I've been here where we didn't have our counsel in giving us legal advice, which is obviously a reason for a closed meeting.
Correct.
Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you very much, Commissioner Craig. We appreciate you doing that every year, and it's very, very good to have that information and remind us of our duties in regards to the Open Public Meetings Act. Next item on the agenda is consideration of approval of rules previously submitted to the Division of Administrative Rules for publication. These are the ones we are being submitted to for potential publication. I'll recognize Commissioner Rockwell for this discussion.
Thank you. The following proposed rule amendment is for the Commission to consider and submit for publication to the Division of Administrative Rules. The rule will be published in the Utah Bulletin on February 1st, 2018, and the public comment period will end on March 5th, 2018. The rule is R-861-1831, Declaratory Orders. The proposed amendment deletes language in rule that indicates when a party with standing may petition for a declaratory order. And this is done because statute, specifically section 63G4503, already provides the criteria for petitioning a declaratory order.
Thank you. We ran across this not too long ago, and I think that the statute needs to trump anyway, so to have a contrary rule would be contrary to the statute. So that's why we're doing this particular rule change. Any questions of Commissioner Rockwell? Seeing none, I recognize Commissioner Rockwell for a motion.
I move to submit the proposed rule amendment R-861-1A-31, Declaratory Orders, to the Division of Administrative Rules.
Thank you. Motion's in order. Debate on the motion. Seeing no debate, I'll place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Rule it passes unanimously. The proposed order will be submitted for publication. Next item on the agenda is to consider positions on pending legislation. This may happen on and off throughout the legislative session. These four are ones that the chair believes that we ought to consider. I recognize Commissioner Rockwell to make presentations on these four bills.
Thank you. Each of these bills were part of the legislative package that the commission brought to the legislature during the 2017 interim. The first is House Bill 21, which is certified tax rate amendments. And this bill modifies the calculation of the certified property tax rate by adjusting eligible new growth to account for the collection rates over the previous 5 years. And this was language that we repealed from an administrative rule at the request of the Administrative Rules Review Committee. And was actually something that still needed to be contained in our law. However, we were asked to repeal it because the authority and statute had been repealed. And so this actually reinstates essentially what was in rule, but it does so in statute. And this will enable us to continue our current practice with respect to the calculation of the certified tax rate.
In summary, it allows us to use a five-year rolling average rather than having to adjust each year and have spikes and valleys that occur by having to have a different calculation each year. Any questions of Commissioner Rockwell? Seeing none, I recognize Commissioner Rockwell for a motion.
I move that the Commission support House Bill 21, Certified Tax Rate Amendments.
Thank you. Motion's in order. Debate on the motion. Seeing no debate, I'll place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Any opposed? The rule passes unanimously. We have taken a position of support of House Bill 21. Next one is House Bill 53.
House Bill 53, Military Spouse Income Amendments. This is an area where we found that our practice was not in harmony with the language of the statute. And so we went to the legislature and asked if they wanted to harmonize the statute and the practice, or whether we needed to change our practice to reflect the language of the statute. This legislation is the result of that interaction we had with the legislature, and it does allow us to continue our current practice. The bill authorizes an individual income tax deduction from adjusted gross income for the amount of all income, including income apportioned to another state, of a non-military spouse of an active duty military member in certain circumstances. And the bill also has retrospective operation to the 2018 tax year.
Thank you. Questions of Commissioner Rockwell on this proposed bill? I might just say this, that this one is taxpayer friendly, and even though we were not strictly following the prior statute, we feel like that practice to be changed midstream would be very difficult on certain types of taxpayers, and therefore request the legislature to make this consideration. I recognize Commissioner Rockwell for motion.
I move that the commission support House Bill 53, Military Spouse Income Tax Amendments.
Thank you. Motion's in order. Debate on the motion. See no debate. I'll place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Well, that passes unanimously. And we will also take a position of support of House Bill 53. Next one is House Bill 54.
Yes, this is individual income tax deduction amendments. And this issue arose where we found language authorizing an income tax deduction for certain municipal bonds in Title 11. Similar language did not appear in Title 59. And so we asked the legislature to incorporate this deduction into Title 59. The bill authorizes the deduction from adjusted gross income for individual income tax purposes for the interest on bonds, notes, or other obligations issued by a local political subdivision that are included in federal adjusted gross income. This bill also has retrospective operation for tax year 2018.
Thank you, Commissioner. This one also is taxpayer friendly and preserves what a lot of taxpayers believe was the law. And in light of federal changes, this particular technical correction is actually now more important than ever. Any debate on this particular, or questions on this particular one? Seeing none, I'll recognize Commissioner Rockwell for motion.
Thank you. I move that the commission support House Bill 54, Individual Income Tax Deduction Amendments.
Thank you. Motion's in order. Debate on the motion. Seeing none, I place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Well, that passes unanimously also. We'll also give a public support of House Bill 54. Next one for consideration is Senate Bill 37.
Senate Bill 37 is Sales and Use Tax Exemption Amendments. This arose as an issue that came before us. It became apparent to us that the exemption for products purchased for resale, whether it was the language stating that it had to be resold within the state was unclear how it should be applied. This language clarifies how that should be applied by removing the requirement that a product purchased for resale has to be resold within the state to qualify for the exemption. And it has retrospective operation to January 1 of 2018.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Questions, Commissioner Rockwell, on this one? Seeing none, I recognize Commissioner Rockwell for motion.
Thank you. I move that the commission support Senate Bill 37, Sales and Use Tax Exemption Amendments.
Motion's in order. Debate on the motion. Seeing none, I'll call a question. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Any opposed? Rule of passes. Commission will also publicly support Senate Bill 37.
I have a question for you all. I want to make sure in the motion on military spouse that I actually said House the commission support House Bill 53, military spouse income tax amendments. I'm a little concerned that I may have said House Bill 54 on military spouse.
Without going back and looking at the record,
let's
go ahead and replace the motion and revote it.
Thank you. I move that the commission support House Bill 53, military spouse income tax amendments.
Thank you. To the motion? I'll place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It passes unanimously. The record's clear. It's House Bill 53, military spouse income tax amendments.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda, Executive Director's Report. And I'll turn to our Executive Director, Barry Conover.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I have nothing really to report this time. However, we are approaching our busy time of the year. And I want to say thank you and encouraging words to Lynn Solarzik and Jason and you commissioners for the hard work you will be doing and have been doing in preparation and deliberation for the upcoming 45 days. So take your vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin B12, so that you have plenty of energy. And we're here to support. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
This is a footnote to that. Blitzich has called on the Tax Commission a lot this last couple of months as we ramped up and then the passage of the federal tax reform. We're going to be spending a significant amount of time, not only at the people that our executive director identified, but all of our economists, trying to unravel the effects on Utah of those various different changes. The nice thing is the legislature regards the tax commission for its expertise that it should have in the matters of tax matters. And so it's been good to have the legislature making calls, both individually and officially as a group, on those changes and on the effects of that. So to that respect, thank you very much, Commissioner, our Executive Director. Commission reports. Anybody from the commission wish to make a report to the commissioners? I see none. That's the last item on the agenda. Do I have a motion?
I move that we adjourn.
Thank you. Motion's in order. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Well, it passes. We're adjourned.